Blog Talk Radio.
We're glad that you've been able to join us. And we also want to remind you that you can also call in and tell us what you're thinking by just calling the call-in number, which is 646-668-8740. Call in and tell us what's on your mind, and we'll definitely be sure to discuss it with you. Well, welcome to the panelists. I want to say welcome to everyone. How's everyone doing?
Hey, David.
Doing wonderful.
Hello, great.
Doing great.
I want to kind of open it up for everybody, but before we do that, I think we should open this one conversation up so we can all understand it. One of the things that has been going on is everybody's talking about monkeypox. And I'm like, what is monkeypox and why is it, you know, COVID-19 has been such a big deal. Now they've been underlining it with monkeypox. And I was wondering, what is that? Then I did some research and found out that it is a infection. It's a single genital lesion and sores on the mouth and anus, and have been identified as symptoms of the monkeypox virus, which means it's a sexual thing that people get. And that's something we haven't been really understanding, I think, to be concerned about it. The study that researchers did at the Queen Mary University in London found that there is a shortage of vaccines and treatments for humans that have monkeypox, and that the infection can be really caught by any, by through sexual interaction, but also by being touched or coughed on by someone. So I think we have not really, you know, understood what it was, and we've been talking about COVID so much that we have not worried about this. But according to European, really, fast vaccination. Anyway,
yeah.
I'd like to open it up for, comments from around the table on anything, but if you want to tell me about what your thoughts are on monkeypox, I'd love to hear it. What are your thoughts on it, Bruce?
Thank you, David. I did hear some of what you just said, and I also heard it's not being talked about much up here in the Midwest and Michigan at all, or at least in Michigan. You just don't hear it on the news much, but I've also done a little research myself, and those lesions you're talking about, they've shown a lot of people that are badly infected, they have like big white spots or big white pimples, but much bigger than a pimple, all over their skin. And I, too, have heard that it's, I don't want to use the word contagious, much easier to be affected by, but it's not life-threatening like some of the others. At least that's what I've heard up here. So that adds to what you just said. One of the topics I'd like to throw out, you guys can jump in with it whenever you want throughout the hour, or we can address it, is and this is just one illustration of many, but Mayorkas and the border, since the border is so important, among other things, but let me focus on that. And he keeps saying, even today, every day, the border is secure, but we're working hard to make it more secure. What is that? It's not, you know, it's the impression is, and the visuals and the statistics you see, it's anything but secure. So my question, my thought is to my brothers on the panel is, why does he keep saying that? Like the word is magical, that if I say it's secure, it's secure. And all the deaths from fentanyl and the corruption and the people that are, you know, deaths of children and women's abuse and all those things that are unfortunately are mixed up with what's going on in a rather crazy mood down in the southern border. So why do you guys think he keeps saying that? I got to believe he knows it's not. So why does he keep saying it? Does he think the words just make it so? That's my first volley into the subjects today.
All right. Anybody want to pick up on that? Michael, you want to pick up on that?
I'll definitely take that one. Thank you, David. And how's everybody doing? That's one thing,
well.
As you guys know, I'm a Democrat, but that's the one thing I agree with the Republicans on. Well, one of many things, but I agree with you on that one, Bruce. I don't know why they just refused to secure that border. I was all in for the wall. I think the wall was a great idea, building a wall up. But I'm going to take a crack at why I think they don't want to secure the border, Bruce, because I live here in California,
okay.
which is a border state. I live in a border
yep.
state, California. The California legislature, all our leaders here in California are Latinos, and the majority of them are from Mexico. So they have a soft spot in their heart for those Latinos who are trying to come across that border and start a new life, quote unquote. And a lot of them have the mentality, well, hey, California was Mexico's anyway. America stole it from us. So they don't really want to put the border up and stop their own people from coming in. And I know that sounds horrible or terrible, but I've talked to some legislators here in California who are Latino, and that's what they tell me. They say, hey, I want to let my people in. Those are my people. I want to let them in. I'm not going to stop my people from coming in. This was ours in the first place anyway. America stole California from us. So I think that has a lot to do with it, Bruce. I really do think that a lot of the Democrats who are Latino don't want to stop fellow brothers and sisters from coming into America.
Point well made, Michael. Let me add one thing to what you just said. I've heard a little of that. And the other thing I've heard is a number of Latinos and Mexicans have said, we want a secure border there. We meaning the ones that are already here in the right, that came in the right way, they want a safe border. They want that kind of safety, security. So I've also heard that a number, I can't quote the percentage, but a large percentage of them want it to be safe and secure in reality. So, you know, it kind of goes back and forth.
All right.
Anybody else?
Yeah, Ron,
yeah,
what are
Bruce. Your thoughts? Oh, thank you, David. You know, I don't think anybody can disagree with the fact that we all would like to have a secure border. I mean, to me, it's irrational to think that anybody wants a completely open border, and anybody that is in their right mind, at least. But I don't think a wall, as I've said before, is the right answer. I think there's other answers, and I know we've been grappling with this problem not just during this presidency. This southern border has been an issue for a long time. It may be worse now. I don't know the facts. I don't know the figures. I don't know that I believe any facts or figures that I hear anymore, because I'm inundated from the radical right by my brother on the craziest stuff that anybody could ever hear. So it's all very mixed up in my mind, but I don't think the wall is the answer. I think legislation, you know, our lawmakers need to figure this out. And I think also, you know, to Michael's point, I personally think it's cheap labor, you know, and we in this country, I mean, prices are going higher now, but we're used to buying cheap vegetables, cheap fruits, and, you know, the people that work in our fields here, a lot of them are immigrants that are undocumented. And if we were going to pay Americans to do that, the prices that we would pay for produce would be many times higher. So I think, in a way, you know, we just look the other way politicians do and just ignore it. And maybe that's just one factor among many.
All right. Soel, what are your thoughts?
Well, the border has been a political issue for decades, and it really shouldn't be. It's been a known fact that most of the drugs, illegal drugs from the United States, come from Mexico. And it's really a crime issue. I mean, if you just secure the border, you're going to see drug fatalities go down. A lot of people, like disguised as the immigrant families, they have mothers coming over with children with drugs, and they just know if they just come over with their child, especially in ports of entry like California, they know that they're just going to be able to go in anyway. A lot of the drugs that enter from Mexico come from California, and that gets spread all over the United States. So if you just secure the border, you're going to see a lot of fatalities go down. And with this fentanyl crisis, it really needs to be addressed quickly.
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts?
I'm just happy to see Michael and Bruce, man, doing Kumbaya, man. That is
amazing. I know. Wow.
The change is going to come. Sam Cooke, man. I'm telling you, that's great, man. I just believe that the Democrats want, and it's kind of, I think it's kind of hypocritical for Ron to say, yeah, I want to secure the border, but I don't want a wall. It's like saying, you know, I don't want anybody to come into my house, but I leave the doors open.
We don't have a wall between Canada, and it's secure.
Yeah, well, we don't have a border crisis in Canada.
Right.
Exactly. So we can fix the crisis in Mexico.
Well, yeah, you fix the crisis by putting up a wall to keep people from sneaking over the border.
They're going to find another way to come in.
Well, I tell you, so then we don't do anything because they may find another way. So we don't lock our doors because somebody may break through the windows. Is that what you're saying?
No, I said that we need to figure out there's solutions that have been talked about, you know, dealing with the problems that's going on in the Central American countries as one possible factor in the equation. You know, there's lots of things that can be done. I'm not an expert. I'm not a politician. But I think it's easier to look the other way and just, you know, let it be, because it's happened during Republicans and during Democrats.
You're right. And Republicans are almost as guilty, not just as guilty as the Democrats on this issue, because, you know, one of the things, the Chamber of Commerce, like you said, they want the cheap labor. But the main issue is Democrats want a permanent dependent class. And so as many immigrants as they have come across that border, they feel as if these guys will look to them for benefits, will look to them for vouchers, for welfare, for food stamps, for public housing, and that keeps the Democrats in power. And so they're willing, they've always been willing to look the other way. Because of those factors, you have a permanent dependent class, and that's what they're looking for. However, I think that they may change that philosophy a little bit, because I have a funny feeling that in the midterms, they're going to see the largest swing of Latina voters convert to Republican or vote Republican than they've ever had in history. And we've seen that happen with Donald Trump. He garnered the most Latino votes than any other Republican president, I guess, in the last 50 years or so. So you're going to see that happen. And then maybe, you know, they may do something about that border. But what Bruce was saying is Mayorkas telling us that, oh, yeah, the border is secure while we're watching, you know, thousands of people come across the border. It's like they say everything, Bruce. They feel like if they keep repeating something, no matter how false it is, that the American people will start to believe it. It's just like they tell us that, oh, there's no inflation. They were telling us that for a while.
Oh, like
months.
The election
no
was
inflation.
Stolen?
Oh, yeah. Like the election was stolen? Like that lie? Like the big lie, Darius? The election was stolen?
Well, guess what, guys? If that's the case, then Hillary Clinton said the election was stolen. Al Gore said the election was stolen. And I didn't hear you guys come across
it. But who says it now?
Town.
Who says it now?
No,
who
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Everybody has said it. But now all of a
who
sudden
says
it's
it
a
now?
Problem.
Who
because
says
Trump
it today,
it.
Darius? Who says
listen,
it now?
Listen, what I'm, Michael, I'm pointing out the hypocrisy. You brought it up. So what I'm saying is you can say, oh, well, the election is stolen is a big lie. Well, yeah, they've been saying it for the past 20 years. Every Democrat that lost said it was fraud. Every Democrat said it was stolen.
And now all of a sudden, because Republicans are saying it, now we got to lock people up. Now we got to have hearings. Now we got to incriminate and indict people because they said the election was stolen. So let's not go there, guys. But it's just like they tell us there's no inflation. Now they say, well, they said it's inflation, but it's transitory. Then they said, oh, yeah, well, it's inflation. Then they said, well, if we have two negative reports of GDP growth, then it's a recession. Now, because they know it's going to come out, and now they're saying, oh, yeah, that's the old standard. We don't go by those standards anymore. And we look at TV. We see buildings burning. Oh, there's no violence in the streets. You know, we look at Democrats who say, oh, yeah, there's no reason that we need to not defund the police, and then crime goes up. Oh, it's not our fault. So, Bruce, it's like, don't believe your lying eyes. And that's the Democrat
model, too. Yeah. And, Darius, on the one point, they just talked about the two negative growth periods does define in a very simple way a recession. And they're already saying, well, we're not going to call it a recession. What? Oh, okay, but it is a recession based on definition. So it's just wordsmithing.
Right, but see, Bruce, you can't believe that what you read and what the standards were before it, and that's the new Democrats' mantra. It's like, oh, we got the strongest economy ever, and you're paying $6 at the pump. Are you paying $8 for a pound of bacon? And they're saying the economy is great. And then he says, oh, well, it's happening all over the world. And then they go and they look at all these other countries who have slower inflation rate than we do. So it's just all politics, man. It's just we'll put it out so you guys will ignore the truth.
All right.
Hey, Jeremiah, go ahead, Michael. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeremiah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts?
I didn't really have anything to add to it. Just listening to the guys, kind of like in the middle, agree with a lot of things. I didn't have anything to add.
All right. Do you have something you would like to bring to the table for everyone to talk about that you would like to bring?
I think it might be a little later. You know what my prime time is.
All right. Wow. All right.
David, before you move, can I ask Ron one more quick question? I don't think it'll take a long answer. Ron, okay, if as you said, and you've said it more than once, you don't favor a wall for the security. And the fact that the bad results with fentanyl and everything are ratcheted up, we have a much more deadly situation there. You're right. It's been around for decades and many presidents. But now the consequences of having it open are much more deadly. So my quick question to you is, what then if not a wall? What do you think is the solution if not a wall?
Bruce, I hate to tell you this, but Ron had to come drop off for a second here for some reason.
Oh, okay. Sorry. All right.
Hey, well, if I could real quick, David, I want to Darius's point real quick about the immigration.
Sure.
You guys are right once again. Here in California, they really cater to the illegal immigrants. They give them driver's license. You can go get a driver's license if you just hopped over the border illegally. You don't need any documentation or anything. You can go get a driver's license. The excuse they use, well, we want these illegals to have insurance, so if they have an accident, they can, can get handled correctly. That's the excuse they use. So, no, they definitely, I agree, they want the cheap labor. The Democrats do want that cheap labor, and they really, really cater to the illegal immigrants as they come in. But one last thing, Darius, you said about politicians lying. You mean like saying you're not going to overturn Roe v. Wade at your hearing, but you overturn it anyway when you get in there?
I didn't say that, Michael.
Thank you, Bruce. I don't remember anybody saying they weren't going to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Nope.
I think what they said was we would apply the Constitution and we would respect the laws that are in place. And that's what they've done. They've respected the laws that were in place. Now, a case was brought before them. They didn't go in, and I explained this a couple weeks ago. Nobody came in and just said, hey, let's pull the file on Roe v. Wade and let's overturn it. It doesn't work that way. The Democrats brought a case before the Supreme Court about the state of Mississippi who wanted to put a limit on how many weeks you could have an abortion. They challenged it, and not only did they lose that case, they also had Roe v. Wade overturned. That's what happened, Michael.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's go on to move on. Don, welcome. Would you have something you would like to bring to the table, Don?
No, I was just listening, and I had to sneak away because I had my granddaughter at Dave & Buster, and I just dropped her off so I could be on the man's voice. So I'm good now.
Okay.
Welcome, yeah. Don.
One thing I did want to comment on, I just finished watching the Capitol story that our team had and did a fantastic job of investigating and let us as the public know what really happened. We saw total dereliction of duty from Donald Trump, and I don't think he should be close to the White House ever again based on his inability to protect us or do anything. It was plain to see right before our very eyes. And if he elects to run for president, I think we're going to see a split in the Republican Party like never before, because DeSantis is waiting in the wings.
Do you know anything about him?
I don't. And I'm just making a comment from my point of view. Now, I know I got some opposition, but I'll tell you what, this is going to be a very important general election. So you guys just stay tuned. More will be revealed.
That's true.
And to that point, Darius and Bruce, I want to hear what you guys are going to say about Steve Bannon just got found guilty. So that's another Trump cohort that got found guilty of a crime. I think we're like batting 1,000 right now with Trump and his homeboys getting found guilty of crimes. So I just want to hear your thoughts on that, guys. Like, what's going on there?
Well, to be a little crude, Don and Michael, I know that the far left, I always qualify that, the far radical left, of which you say you like to be part of, Michael, are having
Absolutely.
Wet dreams over these hearings. But again, it's been brought up before too. If they're so sure that they're right, and I'm not saying some of the points they've made are not correct. I think some of them are. But they've refused to make the hearing balanced, or at least have some sort of the other side, other than the Republicans that are stating their position, so other questions could be brought up that you know the committee will not bring up. If they did that, the credibility of that committee and all the different meetings they're going to have all the way up to the election, surprise, surprise, no surprise there, would have a tremendous amount of more credibility. But they're not going to do that, and they won't do that, because they know some things would come up that would refudiate the claims they say. That's all I want to say.
What kinds of questions, Bruce,
what would
you
like to hear, please? Yes, what kind of questions, Bruce, please?
All right, very simply, I would like to see, no matter who is doing the committee, in this case it's the left, if the right was doing it, let's say it was reversed. You got to have people asking key questions, point, counterpoint. And I can't sit here and list them all right now, but I'm just telling you, if they're so confident what they're doing is correct and accurate, then someone's saying, well, okay, you said this, blah, blah, blah. What about that? They'd be able to answer that firmly and succinctly, and that would give them even more solid ground and credibility on what they're doing. They refuse to do that, and that is going to hurt them.
Hold on, let me finish.
That's going to hurt them
in
the end result of all this. You watch. It's not going to have the near credibility and punch they think it's going to have.
Well, Bruce, what is it that your eyes saw that you didn't believe? Please answer that. What is it that your eyes saw that you did not believe?
Well, anything my eyes saw, if I saw it, I believe it. but that doesn't mean what I said is untrue. And it doesn't, for example, we saw people going into the Capitol in ways they should not have. I don't disagree with that. I think a lot of people on the right, reasonably on the right and reasonably on the left, don't disagree with that. But there
well,
was also
isn't the president's
You wanted me to answer the question. Let me answer.
Yeah, but put some periods when you answer questions.
I'm not asking
Please.
It. You did of me. I'm trying to answer it. All I was going to add was there were people opening doors and ushering people in that they found out were not from the right, saying, oh, come this way, come on in, encouraging the situation. Doesn't make it right, but it doesn't make the left pure and innocent in all of this. That's what I'm saying. Your eyes don't show that, but it's the fact, the truth, if you dig deep enough and find out.
Bruce, the left had nothing to do with his dereliction
I know,
of duty.
Nothing.
As being the president of the United States, his job is to protect me and the citizens and the armed forces that are employed to guard that facility. Now, he did not do his job. What is it that
kind of like
understand
Biden?
About
he hasn't
that?
Been doing his job either on protecting us
now,
either.
See,
you're
you
right.
You just
yeah, there I go.
Him.
That's right.
You just,
because you guys
just,
go there
you
too.
Just,
I'm just,
you just totally,
I'm just saying,
totally negated.
You're not innocent
that I
asked
you.
In this. That's all I'm saying. You're not innocent. Period.
Okay, you're in complete denial. I got it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right. As you are.
All right, gentlemen.
All right, can I answer Michael now, David?
Yes, go ahead.
So the first question was about Steve Bannon. And what I want to say is Michael, when we first met, I think one of Michael's main pet peeves with the federal government or with the United States is our justice system and how there's not equal justice under the law. So there has never been anybody indicted or convicted for failure to answer a subpoena from a congressional committee. Eric Holder was convicted of, not convicted, but he was voted, an overwhelming majority of Democrats as well, to have failure to turn over evidence to a committee.
Contempt
judge,
of Congress.
Contempt of Congress. Thank you, Michael. Nothing happened to Eric Holder. Not only was he never even arrested, he wasn't even indicted, he wasn't even charged. A judge ordered him to do it, and he still didn't do it. Hillary Clinton destroyed evidence, smashed computers, smashed phones and laptops, deleted files. Nothing happened to her. So where's the equal protection under the law? It doesn't exist. It only applies to Republicans. Okay, so then we talk about January 6th. Don said, what do you want to know? So what I want to know, Don, the question that I have is, why did the Capitol Police, why did Nancy Pelosi ignore Donald Trump's request to have an additional 30,000 troops to be at the Capitol on January 6th? Because you, Don, said that it's his job to protect the American citizens and the Capitol, and he didn't do it that day. You stand corrected. It's the Speaker's job to protect the Capitol and congressional committees or the U.S. House of Representatives. And she failed because Donald Trump authorized, and I'm trying to figure this out, if you are planning to invade the Capitol, why would you authorize 30,000 National Guard troops to be there? Nancy Pelosi rejected that request. Also, there is hours of missing tapes that they say the Capitol Police ushered people into the Capitol. Why can't we see that tape? Why is that missing? Another question is, you've got three witnesses that have testified that have been proven to be proven false testimony. The one lady, the Secret Service said it never happened about Donald Trump trying to carjack his own vehicle. The Secret Service does not support that. There was another one that says that they were trying to kill Mike Pence, drag him out. Another member, Secret Service member of Pence's thing, said that didn't happen. And these, the Capitol Police chief at the time said that he requested more people. Someone said that that didn't happen. So what I'm trying to figure out is, if you really, really care about the truth, Don, why aren't these people who are raising their hands saying, please call me, call me. Let me testify that what these people are saying is not true. If the Democrats really, really wanted to get to the truth, Don, like you are a soldier and protector of truth, like you say you are, then why aren't these people being called forward so they can either refute or support what these other people are saying?
And Darius, you know something? Go ahead, Michael. I yield to you,
okay,
because I'm watching a different television set.
Yeah, I'll be real quick. Hey, Darius, after 8 days of testimonies and testifying, all you gathered was that Nancy Pelosi screwed up? That's all you gathered from 8 days of this? Let me ask you this. Let's put all of the riot and all of that aside. You heard the phone call where Donald Trump was on the phone with the Secretary of State in Georgia and said, hey, I just need to find 11,080 votes. That's one more than I need. Is that not enough evidence to show that he was doing something dirty? That wasn't enough to you?
Okay, well, we're going to two different things, but let me address your first question. No, that's not all I found. You asked the question about what is it that I want to know. Those are the things that I want to know. But no, that's not all I found. You have Secret Service members that were there, that were in the White House, that are willing to testify, and the Democrats don't want to hear what they have to say. So no, it's not just Nancy Pelosi, but it's also the Capitol Police. It's also the mayor of Washington, D.C. It's a few people that are to blame for this, or that kind of, I believe, my conspiracy theory is they wanted this to happen. But that's a topic for another day. Now you talk about what he did in Georgia. Calling somebody saying, look into this, I believe there's fraud, and I'm only down 11,000 votes. I need you to find out what happened. I need you to look into this.
No, he didn't say what happened. He said, I need you to find 11,000 votes.
That's,
he didn't say,
not,
I need you to find out what happened.
It's not a crime. It's not a crime. He did ask what happened. You see, this is the problem what we're having right now, Michael. You only heard that because that's only the snippet. It's like they do with everything. They take everything out of context. They play only the bites that they feel is going to get them is going to support whatever their agenda is. The whole tape he was saying, there's a lot of stories that I'm getting, a lot of reports, a lot of anomalies that are coming out of Georgia. And I'm hearing all these stories. I need you to look into it. And then he says, by the way, I'm only 11,000 some votes short. I need you to find those votes. That's what he was saying. But they took it out of context. So that's not a crime in and of itself. But if you play it the way the Democrats play it, when they splice and cut and edit, then it does sound like he's asking them to commit a crime.
All right, gentlemen. We've been doing a lot of politics today, and I want to thank you about that, and I like the direction we were going. But I know that Ron is back, Bruce. So the last political thing I'm going to let happen is, Bruce, you wanted to ask Ron a question, and he's back now. If you still want to ask it, brief it down a little bit and ask him.
Okay. All right. Ron, what I asked is I would value your opinion on, if not the wall, which you've said more than once you don't want, I respect your opinion, then what do we do to make it secure enough that those that want the wall say, hey, that's good. Good idea. Let's do that. So that's my question to you. If not wall, what?
Well, and thank you, Bruce. Like I said, I don't have the answers. You know, I'm not a politician. I'm not living and breathing that. And honestly, I haven't dealt that much into it because it doesn't impact me directly. So I don't have a precise answer to give you. I honestly don't know. But I have heard, I can't recall what they are now, but I have heard some other solutions proposed, like tackling the issues that are going on in Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, the Central American countries, that would hopefully stem the reason that people want to leave those countries. You know, there's a reason people want to leave those countries. Yeah, you know, this country is great, and you know, we always say everybody wants to come here. That's not true. There's a lot of countries around the world where people don't come here. They're not interested in coming here. There's a reason that the Central American countries want to come here. It's because they fear for their lives, and they're poor. You know, they want something better for themselves. So if we can address some of those things as a hemispheric situation, you know, South America is not any better either. I mean, look at what's going on with Argentina right now. And my friends from Argentina just ended up moving to Portugal because it's so bad there. So we need to address what's going on in our hemisphere as a leader of the world, and especially our hemisphere, so that, you know, we're trying to address, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a open wound that is never going to stop bleeding. We need to address what the root cause of the problem is. And the only country really that can do that is the United States. We've got the resources and we've got the smarts to be able to figure this out. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
One word, Ron, for the problem that's going on in South America. It's called socialism. And it's what you guys want here. That's the problem. And
no,
that's it in a nutshell. Right? That's it in a nutshell. It's socialism. And socialism creates misery and poverty everywhere in the world that it's been tried. And that's what.
But for you to blanket statement say that we want socialism, that's not true. I don't want socialism. I don't want communism. You know, that's a ridiculous statement.
Well, if that's not you, then I apologize, but that's certainly the majority of the Democratic Party is seeking some form of socialism here in America. And if walls don't work, why do they put them around prisons? Why did Joe Biden put fences around the White House if it doesn't work?
Why did Richard Nixon say tear down the wall in Germany between East?
That was Ronald Reagan, and he said tear down the wall.
Or Ronald Reagan, sorry.
Because the wall was there to keep people in, not to keep people out. And that's why he said tear down the wall. It was separating East and West.
All right, gentlemen. I think we've done enough of that for today. You know, last week we had some females on, and that was a really good show. But in the meantime, I've gotten a lot of questions that females would like to ask men. And they're very detailed, and a whole list of them. I have a list of about 50 questions that they want to ask. So I'm going to ask, and we'll go around, and you can ask this. So one of the questions that kept coming up was, the first thing that really was, what do men really want from women when they're married? let's ask that question. What do men really want from women when they get married? Who wants to take that one on?
I'll take it first.
All right.
One of the most attractive things I think in a woman is her intelligence. I want an equal, someone that is a team person, not only in love but in everything else that makes a good marriage, so that there's a lot of sharing and reasons for doing that and the passion. So you need someone that's very capable of having the intellectual level that you're comfortable with. Some people have different levels. I think that's key, along with love. Love is extremely important, but intelligence is almost equally important in many cases.
All right, gentlemen. Now I'm going to read the question. I'm going to read the question the way it was given to me. I kind of briefed it up a little bit, but I'm going to read it to you the way it was given to me, and I hope we can answer this question without getting too X-rated. But the question is, I would love to know what men really want from women in bed, in life, and every day, but most importantly, in bed. All right,
that's even easier.
I can answer that. I can answer that, David. I think from the beginning, the genesis of this whole thing, man is totally incomplete without a woman in his life. And my wife is a complete woman. She doesn't compete with me. She completes me. She makes me whole. She's my helpmeet. She makes it easy for me to be a leader and a king and do what I need to do for a queen, in which she is a queen. And then when it comes to being in bed and making love, we have two wonderful children. I love making love to her. I think it's a prerequisite that God placed in the earth when he said, be fruitful and multiply. So he put sex there for us to enjoy. A woman or a marriage is so wonderful for those people that have the opportunity to experience it. And I've been so blessed to be able to experience it for 43 years. I haven't always been married, but for 43 years, I've had a wonderful wife in my life. Hey, it is what it is.
All right. I have another question. The question was, what actions really annoy a man about a woman when they're married? What actions really annoy a man? let's go with somebody who could probably answer that. Darius.
I can ask. Go ahead.
Huh? Who said that?
That was Jeremiah. I was going to kind of throw something in there and answer
Please
that question.
Do. Please do.
Well, I'll speak from almost a personal experience, I would say. It could be a situation where a woman or a female becomes maybe, let's just say, adjusted, or because as you grow and you become an adult and a young lady and a woman, you tend to grasp certain things and learn certain things. So a woman would develop, just like men, something that they really like. Now you can get with another partner that does not like that at all, right? So I've experienced things where I would tell her, listen, I don't like that, don't do that. But she would try to keep doing it to see if, like, she could get me to like it or get me to – and it's like, when do you understand stop? I've told you stop 15, 20 times already. I don't know what else to do. And then let's just say, for example, you know how someone would touch you somewhere, your reaction might be fight or flight kind of thing. So if it's fight, and I've told you stop 100 times or 20 times, and you're not stopping, what else you want me to do, right? So you're putting a man in a tough situation there. Just like you want your needs, your wants, your likes to be met, you want your dislikes to be met as well. I don't think I can go really into detail, David, but yeah, that's probably good enough for right now.
All right. Let's go with Michael. What are your thoughts? Oh, wait a minute. All right.
Oh.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on these things?
So you're asking what I would want out of a wife, or
yeah.
What are you asking me?
Yeah, answer that.
Just someone who's kind, compassionate, very reasonable, level-headed. I've been on some horrible first dates of my lifetime. I think something you can really tell if you are dating a good person is how they treat, like, people who are on the front lines, like cashiers, waiters, customer service people. If you see someone that treats someone like that badly, I just can't ever see being in a relationship with you. Just people that – someone who can treat someone and me with respect.
Good answer. All right.
I want to ask him a question. What would be your number two? So what would be your number two? I would say now directed towards family. If she treats that person good or bad, that's a bad indication.
Well, if – I mean, I don't really have a whole lot of family. my mom is basically like the only relative I have that lives really close to me besides my aunts. But I mean, if you treat like my mom like crap, I'm going to do what I need to do with you and broom you fast. I mean, you're not going to treat my mom horribly.
Yeah. So in my instance, I believe if you have to really take a look at how a girl or woman treats her dad, how she takes authority from her dad, how she takes constructive criticism, all that stuff, because we have to understand before we actually marry sometimes, and if a woman's ever dealt with a man in her life being a father, it could then make things difficult to be understanding, to be submissive, to be whatever. There's a lot of things. But I just think sometimes that creates a problem.
All right. Another question, and I want to get through these. We only got like 14 minutes left. But how do men feel about successful women? I had a lot of women ask that question. How do you feel to be successful? So, Darius, how do men feel about successful women?
I don't know about most men, but I can say for me, I think it's definitely an asset. The only downfall, I think the only reason most people, men, don't like having or respect having a successful woman is because they're intimidated. And it's also because the woman, because she feels like she may be more successful than the man, she loses a sense of respect and reverence for her husband. And I think as long as a woman can maintain that posture to say that, yeah, I'm the more successful out of the two, but you're still the head of this house. And then that falls on the man, too, because it's incumbent upon him to be that person that she desires to respect and reverence as well. So it's not all on the woman. But, yeah, I don't mind that at all as long as she has a vision and I can support her vision and she can support mine and she can maintain the respect and reverence for me as a husband and the head of the household, then I think it's an asset. It's a great thing to have a successful woman on your corner.
All right. Darius, let me read the whole scenario that she wrote and then answer the question. They say that they want a woman who is successful, has her own money, but I'm a career woman and I feel like no guys are interested in me. Would give. I follow the old third wave feminism. I don't need a man's grip. I amass my own wealth and I feel like it bit me in the butt. What would you recommend for someone like me? What would you recommend for this lady, Darius?
She has to be willing to not let her success define who she is as a woman.
Right.
And she has to not assert her independence to the point that the man feels insignificant. Men, a real man, I'm not talking about some of these weak guys out here today, but a real man wants to support and provide for his family. He wants his family to need him. He wants his family to respect him. And if you're not doing that, if you're not willing to put yourself in a position of vulnerability and in a position of where you can be led, then you're not ready for marriage. And I don't care how much money you have or how much money or success you have. You're not ready until you're willing to submit that. And the man has to be, let me preface it with this. The man has to be worthy of that submission as well. You can't just submit to anybody. You have to make sure it's a real man, a godly man, and or at least a man that follows godly principles or moral principles. And if you can do that, then you'll be fine. But you don't have to change who you are. But you can't be overbearing, and you can't overshadow a man because you're going to make him feel insignificant, and that creates insecurity.
All right, Jeremiah, what would you say to this young lady if she asked you this question?
Well, I always think about a few things. The first thing I say is I want more. But the first thing comes to my mind is sometimes, you know, a lot of young women have this issue because even men too, you chase a career, you want to become a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it may have you, and you're really into your books, your studies for a long period of time. Now that you've made your accomplished your goal, now you're in your 30s, you're in your early 30s, late 20s, right? And now you're looking for something serious. you're not allowing the time to get to know people, and, you know, you feel like your clock is ticking. You know what I mean? So a lot of times they're not allowing themselves the time, allowing themselves the locations. You know, you have to go somewhere. You have, there's certain places that are great places to meet people, but you can't meet guys if you're stuck in the house. I'm not saying go out to a club or a strip club or any of that to meet a guy, but you have to be a well-liked person to go out, meet people, and sometimes at the right places, because there's a bunch of horrible places to meet a person, and they just think you're a beef jerky or something. But I would say, you know, don't come off as so assertive, so cocky. You know, and you can be proud of your accomplishments, but yet and still, and that's what I don't like to tell people. I own a business. I've done this for myself. I've done that for myself. Get to know me for me, right? It's not all about, and when you want to marry somebody, it's not all about technically, you know, what you have. What the first date should never be what you have achieved in the last 10 years. No. So that shouldn't be the first thing spoke about, and that could be something that's deterring people away. Because, yes, we're all happy about our accomplishments, but how they're spoken of at a first date, at a first conversation, just like they can say, this guy's full of himself. And they might be wrong. He just loves to talk about it. And that could be the same thing with her. She loves to talk about what she's accomplished because she's so very proud of it, but it's pushing guys away because, like, man, I can't deal with this. She's full of herself. We can't even talk about humanly things. She just want to talk about her graduation and how much money she's making.
All right. Another question that came up was, what does it mean when men say they want to be alone? The question went, my partner seems to need so much more alone time than I do. Is that a guy thing? What are your comments on that one, Don? What would you say?
Hey, David, can you repeat that or rephrase it? I didn't really hear you.
Yes. What does it mean when a man says that he wants to be alone? The lady says, why does my partner seem to need so much more alone time than me? Is this a guy thing?
I think that a man deserves and is mandatory for a man to be alone sometime. I know sometime I'll say to my wife, hey, I just need some quiet time with just Don so I can meditate and think about some issues and things we need to do. As being the leader, I like what Darius said earlier. A good woman respects a leader in her home. When that leader says he needs some quiet time to be alone, give him some quiet time to be alone. That doesn't mean he doesn't want you around. He needs to be able to reflect on him, his purpose, and his God. After all, before a woman even came on the scene, man used to walk in the cool of the day and commune with God. Woman wasn't even on the scene. So I need time often, quiet time by myself. You know, and the thing is, when I say I need time by myself, doesn't mean I'm alone, because I'm a spiritual person. I take God with me, because my mind is like a bad neighborhood. I just don't go up there by myself anymore.
All right. Ron, you want to jump in on that one? Ron.
I can jump in on that, David. I would
go ahead.
Like to.
Go ahead. Wow.
Well, hey, David,
who,
if
me?
I may real quick.
Bruce, go ahead.
Just real quick, and I don't profess to be great at this, but I work hard at it a lot. We need to be better listeners, gentlemen. A lot of us are not very good at listening. Women love to have good listeners around them. You'd be surprised what you will find out by not saying much at all, other than kind of stimulating the conversation. And I'm also very careful, along with what Jeremiah said, I agreed with him about the assertiveness in that. So it doesn't look like you're, it's all about you. Is you have to also make sure we don't overemphasize the only way we measure success in this country is how much money you make. Couldn't be further from the truth. As they say, when you die, the value of you is measured by the friends and family around you. So it doesn't mean we're not a society that values that. We are, maybe more than a lot of others. But money isn't everything. So make sure that you value the talents and the things that either of the partnership has. If they're lower in the salary category, maybe they're higher in other categories.
All right. We only got a few minutes left, and there's several other questions, but let me try to rush through the ones that I think are important to the women that are listening. One of them is, how can I get a guy to be open about changes in the bedroom? How do I bring up things that I would like to change about my sex life with a man without hurting him or making him feel insecure? Is there a sexier way than just saying, I would like it better if you did X instead? What do you think about that? What do you think about that one? Let's see, Ron, are you still there? He's just not going to answer. Okay, let's go on to Bruce. Why don't you, can you pick up on that?
In my sex life, I was never shy about if she had something she wanted to try different or had heard about this or vice versa. I did. It would just kind of happen. You might try it or you might talk about it in the bedroom and in the dark or whatever's going on. And you just got to, if there's one person you should be able to be vulnerable with, because the sexual act of lovemaking is probably one of the most vulnerable things you can be in, you ought to be able to talk about that or at least discover that. So I never had a problem either bringing that up or trying that in my relationships.
All right. Michael, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
How would you answer that question?
That's a very tough question, I got to be honest with you. As a newly married man, it's a very touchy situation because I've done that in my relationship. I told my wife, hey, blah, 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 and she'll go, are you crazy? Where'd you get that from? Who'd you do that with? And it turns into a – and vice versa. She says it to me.
Careful,
I'm like,
Michael. Careful. Careful.
So to the ladies who asked that question, ladies listening, that's a very tough one. You got to walk on eggshells with that one. You just do.
All right. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts?
I would like to add something, David. I was going to say – It depends on if it, as long as it's not like the far left or the far right, sometimes you just got to do it, right? He just might like it, right? As long as it's probably not like something he's not really used to, but if it's something you've touched in the past or not even near, but something you've touched in the past, just add some spunk.
Take charge.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right, let's go to the young guy. Joel, what are your thoughts on this question?
From my experience, I think just being honest and being upfront is the most surefire way to get what you want. I've had so many people dance around questions. I mean, you should have just told me, okay, if I don't help you out with this or here's my advice. But just being upfront and honest is the most surefire way to get what you want.
All right.
I got another one, David. Really quick, just maybe start a porn video, and he's looking at that, and he'll say something about it. So you don't ask him, but let him see it, and then he'll be like, "Oh man, that's gross. Turn that crap off," you know. So just maybe do that, you know.
So you're saying the lady should be out looking at porn videos to bring to the house?
No. I said she could let that be. If she don't want to open her mouth and she doesn't want to do it, or she don't want to ask him. Let him see it, and he'll tell you something.
All right.
Just say, have you ever seen this before? That's it.
Well, we want to thank you for listening to the man's voice. And once again, you can call in and let us know. I mean, the questions that we got were very opening, and we answered them. So, guys, have a great week. We'll be back again next Sunday at 6 o'clock. If you got more questions, just email me. We'll ask. We'll answer. Have a great week, guys.
Take care, guys.
Thank you, David.
Have a good week. God bless.
A lady in the seat and a freak in the street.
Turn off that movie. Hey, lady in the street, but my what? Okay.
Michael, be careful on what you say to your wife.